The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here. I am here with Henry Johnson of Squeak and Soul's Floor Care Solutions, which is harder to say than you might think. He started this July 2018 in Atlanta, Georgia. It looks, I believe he's a floor tech and he wanted to offer quality floor care solutions. Holy crap. It's 8 o'clock in the morning when we're recording this. Actually, I gotta stop drinking so early for priority business owners. Henry, welcome to the show, man. What's going on in your world?
Nothing much. It's stores and customers and taking care of them. And like you said, providing quality floor care solutions to our clients on a consistent basis.
So give us a background. Did you start with a job? Do you have a job? How'd you go from civilian to cleaning company owner or floor care?
I've always had this skill. My father actually had me with him. He's a recently retired floor technician. And he had me cleaning commercially with him since I was 7 years old. Nice. I'm 35 right now. So fast forward, you know, I grew up, ended up in Atlanta, and I was working for Georgia Tech. And I was a technician with them. And I kind of was like, yes.
Okay.
Really a houseman, but that's when I realized that, you know, that was part of my job. So that's when I realized that, wait a minute. I got something on my hands here. And Atlanta is a great market for cleaning companies. So at the end of my tenure at Georgia Tech, I pretty much took the leap of faith and said, you know, I can pretty much, you know, start my own cleaning company. Started off contracting a little bit. Now, you know, I'm at the point where I'm getting a fair amount of subcontracts, and I've been able to acquire customers on my own. But it's to the point now where I'm almost overwhelmed with work. Like, I'm literally, like, looking for people right now to help me. So, yeah, that's Squeaking Souls. We're 3 years in, you know, haven't looked back.
Good for you. So you went full-time right off the bat, took the leap all in, didn't kind of go half measure. And so far it's been able to pay. Are you, I don't want to get super nosy, but are you making more than you were at the university? About the same or less?
It's, you know, it's pretty much I gave up the benefits. That's what it was about. You know, you didn't get paid that great, but it was great benefits. But as far as me, you know, making my own schedule and kind of being able to focus on floors, because I had more in that job scope. And the main thing for me was the creativity and the, you know, the ability to build my system instead of having to be under somebody else's system. And hey, I got this chain. Well, no, we don't need you. We need you to focus on cleaning instead of, you know. So, you know, be having the creativity to do it my way.
So you gave up, you know, whatever benefits they had, time off, healthcare, 401k, all that good stuff for benefits of freedom and being able to run your own ticket and all that sort of stuff. And it sounds like you're at least paying your bills. So you were able to kind of pretty quickly at least replace generally that income. So you didn't have to go back.
I haven't filled out a job application in probably like 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And the cool thing is it where you're at, before whatever, you know, cost of living wage they may or may not give you every year, that was it. You were capped. But if you're kind of similar to where you were compensation wise, you're uncapped. You can double, triple, quad, you can make it whatever you want. So there's opportunity. And again, you know, benefits are good, but money's better. Like 50 grand with, you know, good benefits is fine, but 300 grand with no benefits, like I'll pay my own benefit. Don't you worry.
Yeah, you'll make
I'll sort money. That out. One of my favorite sayings, if you got a problem that requires money, you got money, you don't got a problem. So if you don't have any health insurance, but you have money, you can procure health insurance. You don't need some university.
Definitely get your own health insurance.
Yeah. And just for all of you guys out there, having been an owner that provided health insurance, we stopped because the health insurance we would provide as a company was always more expensive, less quality, you know, because they got to assume if any older person comes in or person with pre-existing, we got to cover all that. So a young, healthy guy like Henry, he got to pay for that. So getting your own health insurance, actually not a bad idea. Okay. So what's going on in your world and how can I help you today, Henry?
So I'm looking to scale, kind of get more directly with our commercial clients instead of having to go through, as they say, a middleman, because that as well has a cap. Now, that's good, you know, as far as growing and getting the ball rolling. But as much as I've been able to invest in the presentation of my business, I feel that, you know, once we get the right clients, I'll be able to have, you know, employees and run the system more so than be on the floor. Now, how would I be able to obtain that?
So I'm hearing two different questions. One is, how do I get out of cleaning floors personally and build a team? And two is, how do I get direct, as opposed to subcontracts where someone else sells the job, they take a cut and give me the rest. How do I get contracts my own? Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And for all of you all out there, I know they sound like semi-unrelated questions. Believe it or not, they're very related. I personally, a lot of times people, when we start off as technicians, whether it's a maid, janitor service, power washer, window cleaner, floor guy, floor gal, we don't really know how to price, or we price according to our own needs. I need to make $3,000 a month. I can work this much, so this is what I'll do. Which, not ideal, but depending on your goals, if it's working for you, then it's working for you. God bless you. The problem is, once we try to get out of the field and create a real business that does not depend on us to, you know, right now, I'm assuming if you're the only guy you got, if you want to take a vacation, that means not only you spend whatever the vacation costs, but 100% of your income for the time that you're not working stops. God forbid you go to the hospital, get sick, can't work for, you know, you get COVID and you're out for a week or two. Okay. Well, that's just, you just don't make any money. So the first thing that you want to, everybody needs to do is really understand the pricing model and make sure they get the difference between when I have a, like when I go to Walmart, if I say I'm working at Walmart and they pay me $12 an hour, I get to keep all $12 an hour, right? I might need to pay taxes and I might need to buy some shoes to wear there and like gas to get there, but pretty much I can keep all of it. The same is true when I'm self-employed, right? If I, whether I'm working directly for a company or working indirectly for a company through a subcontractor, if I do all the work, obviously, if you're doing floor work, you got to pay for stripper and wax and all that fun stuff and have some equipment. But other than that, I get to keep it, which is good, but it allows you to price poorly because you're not required to do anything. Once we move to having employees, we kind of need to understand, oh, the pricing that worked for me is that, you know, if I made, you know, I did a weekend strip and wax and, you know, I charge them $1,500 and it cost me $500 and stripper and stuff. You know, I made $1,000 for 20 hours of my time, whatever the case may be. That might be fine for you as a single solopreneur. But if you've got an employee, if you get employees and overhead and marketing, you got a real company, that may or may not work. So typically I found, whether it's floor work or janitorial work, it doesn't really happen in the residential space. The subbing out doesn't work. We teach a 50-30-20 model, which means 50% of your cost should be for labor, right? So that same, and well, in floor could be labor and supplies, right? So that same $1,500 job, you would expect to pay $750 in stripper, wax, whatever, and to your employee. That would leave $750 left over. Of that $1,500, $450 or 30% would go to overhead, insurance, marketing, professional development for yourself and your employees, uniforms, just all the things it takes to have a real business. And then 20% would be profit. The problem is when we go through an intermediary, subcontractor, they typically take 20 to 30%. So it sounds like, well, that's fair. They got the contract. They're going to collect the money and pay me my share. 20, let's just call it 25%, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. And sometimes I don't tell you, but it's just so you know, it's typically around 20-30%. And so first of all, we're assuming they bid it right. So if they bid it wrong and they take 20%, they don't care because they can bid it whatever they want. They're still going to get 80%. They don't have to do anything. Or so they're still going to get their 20%, even if it doesn't leave you any margin, right? So if they bid it wrong, all bets are off, you're screwed. If they bid it properly, and for a real company, you're only expecting 20% profit and they take 25% of a cut, there's no way to do it. So the only way to do it is to clean it yourself, which you're like, that's what I'm doing, or not have any overhead like insurance, marketing, you know, phones, uniforms, vehicle, like just stuff that you need to run a real company. So first and foremost, for anyone going, hey, I want to move from self-employed to business owner, you're going to need your own contract. So when you're doing it yourself, it's, I hear you saying, Henry, I'd like my own contract. I think that's a better way to go. I just don't know how to do it. I need help. If you're like, I want to have a business, not be self-employed, that goes from something you'd like to do to a requirement. You're not going to be able to. I've talked with franchisees for like Janie King and stuff like that, where they're doing janitorial, and the numbers are the same, whether it's floor work or janitorial. They're like, I'm the largest franchisee in my state. I'm doing $500,000 of revenue, and they're still doing the work themselves, and they're not making any money because there's no margin, right? There's just not enough for two owners. The guy that gets the work is taking his 20%, which is your 20%. So the only way there's any money left over is if you don't pay for things like insurance and you don't have to pay marketing. You do save a nickel there because they're bringing the clients in for you, but there's still employee development. And there's just expenses, having a phone, having a website, just all the expenses associated with the business are still there. So the only way you can make money is to do the work yourself. And then you're back in this. So even though they've got, what happens is they're still cleaning and they've got employees, but they don't know how to do the math. So I'm telling you the math, they don't make any money on employees, right? They might be paying someone $15 an hour and they might be earning $16 an hour or something like ridiculous. It's not enough money. So they might be doing literally 30, 40, 50 grand a month and they're still cleaning because that's the only way they can make money. The margins are that thin. So for all of y'all out there that are wanting to go from self-employed to business owner, the taking contracts from other people, like subcontracting, has to go from a desire to a must. There's no way to do it. I'm going to save you years and years of headaches. So that would be step one, is I got to learn how to do that. Step two, we got to make sure we're bidding our own jobs 50, 30, 20. So if a job's going to cost you $1,000, you can't charge 1500 when, you know, if you have a real company. If you're doing it yourself and you don't mind making $500 for however long it takes, charge what you want. But when you have a real company and it's going to cost you $1,000, you bid 2000, right? So there's got to be, so first you can't take subcontractors. Second, you got to know what to bid. Then and only then can we worry about kind of giving our clients, right? Because it's, unfortunately, and this is why we have a system that we teach all at once sequentially. If your bidding's not right, you can't go out on your own. But if you want employees, you can't have employees until you're out on your own and you know how to bid. So you kind of have to get all three of these skills at the same time of hiring, getting your own clients, and knowing how to bid. I know I'm hitting you with a ton at a time, but you kind of had a complex question. It's got two or three aspects to it that all kind of tie together. What am I missing? What's helping? What follow-up questions do you have? How can I help?
So what would be the best way to market yourself direct? Like, so if I'm under these subcontractors, like how do I kind of weasel my way out? Like, it's, you know, and seeing and kind of make myself stand out and be able to get the attention of these clients that I'm seeking?
So that's a really good question. And we've done hundreds of podcasts on how to get your own clients. So that's kind of a, you know, it's a 10-week question in a 20-minute format. So I'll give you some highlights, but obviously you'll need more help, not just you, but listeners, you're going to need more help. You know, I wish I could say, yeah, just listen to a 20-minute podcast and you'll have everything you need to build $1 million business, but that's not how it works. Or even market properly. So the first thing, believe it or not, and people are like, they want to hear tactics. Do I do Facebook or do I do direct mail? You know, what's a good headline? Like, and those are all fine. Those skill, copywriting and all that stuff's important. And we've done podcasts on them. But the first thing we need to do is change, believe it or not, our mindset. So as long as we tolerate other people giving us work and take that kind of work, we in a mindset are, you know, I'm self-employed. I don't have a job anymore. I'm not working for someone else, but I kind of am. I just, now I'm a freelancer, but I still don't have my own business. So we want to make a clear distinction of big step from, I work for somebody else employed, to I work for myself, self-employed, but I still have to do the thing that I do, right? If I have a pool business and I have other people cleaning pools for me and I can be on the beach and still make money, I have a pool business. If I have a pool business, I'm doing the air quotes, and I got to go clean pools, I do not have a pool business. I have a pool job. It's not much different than working for somebody else. So just like if you were working for a university and they paid you a salary to do their thing, that was a job. You didn't really move to business owner, you moved to self-employed, right? Where I work for myself, but I still work. Henry stops working, Henry stops getting paid. So we've got to make the big shift from, and I'm not knocking or saying it's wrong, or it was probably good for the time that you had it. But if you, Henry, and Cleaning Nation is going, hey, I don't want to do that anymore. First and foremost, we have to move from Because again, if you're going to be just a gun for hire, you don't really need to know how to market. It's not a skill you need. You just need to be a good floor guy, right? And you know, you make friends, you be friendly, you can pick up something. It's not that big of a deal. But when you kind of get your own thing, now you have to go, okay, the skill I have for doing floor work is actually going to hurt me, believe it or not. Michael Gerber in his book, E-Myth Revisited, talks about how if you, you know, a lot of, you know, I cut hair and I'm real good at cutting hair. So I'm going to go own a salon. And I think that the skill set to cut hair is going to help me own a salon. It does not help me own a salon, right? Because now if somebody quits or I'm cutting hair, and if I'm cutting hair, who's running the daggum place, right? The skill sets to own a salon are not haircutting. They are understanding how the P&L works, right? Proper accounting, understanding your business model, make sure it's profitable. Marketing, like we're talking about, building teams, creating a culture, things like that. So I would first and foremost shift from, I'm a floor guy who in my spare time wants to do a little marketing. It's too hard for that. There's other guys that you'll run into a competition like me. I'm like, I don't know nothing. Well, I do. I'm one of the very few. 20 years ago, I used to do floors. I know my body would drop dead if I tried to do a strip of wax of floor because it's hard work, kids. But I would never do that, right? Like when I had my car dealership, and a mechanic quick, I wasn't like, well, I guess I better get out there and start, you know, doing brake jobs. You know, because if I'm doing a brake job, which I couldn't, I'd kill somebody. Who's running the company? So the first and foremost thing we need to do is make a shift from I'm a floor guy to I'm going to be a business owner and I'm going to acquire the skill of marketing. That's going to be my main thing. Client. And again, I'll tell you the three things in any business owner, whether it's a salon or a commercial cleaning company or a car dealership or a construction company. I've had all of those or a coaching company, except for a salon. I never owned a salon, God willing. don't want to. Those guys work too hard. No matter what, there's really three skills that you need, and none of them are the thing that you do, right? Like here, I happen to be a coach, but if I sold this company, someone else could be very effective and profitable with it, even if they didn't want to coach. Same when I had my construction company. I don't know how to do any construction. I promise you, I hire people. When I have my car dealership, I don't know how to fix cars by any means. And I knew how to sell cars, but I didn't sell cars. I had people that did that. Same with the finance and all the other crap. So the three things that you're going to need in any business, including floor business, Henry, is one, grasp of the numbers, right? So you're going to go, hey, I'm going to take the time and educate myself in what numbers should look like. Good news, I just kind of gave you the key, 50, 30, 20 for the floor business. You might sneak in at 45, 40, cost of goods sold. Janitorial maid service at 50 is pretty good. Sometimes in floor work, you get a little higher margin, not a big deal. Second is going to be marketing, which again, I wish I could just be like, yeah, I'll tell you how to do it and then you'll just have it. But it's more complex than that. And then third would be building a team. And building a team isn't just what are the laws of my land? How do I fill out W-2 paperwork? You know, because we can pay a payroll company to do all that. It's really how do I identify talent? How do I get people to want to work for me as opposed to someone else? How do I create a culture that's appealing to the right people? And those are real skills, right? Just like if I said, hey, I want to be a floor guy. We're doing a 20-minute podcast. How do I be a floor guy? You'd be like, dude, I can't teach you. You're like, you know, it's like you're trying to teach a kid to ride a bike over the phone. Like, you can't do that. You know, or get a haircut, you know, give me a haircut over the phone. You're like, Like, it just doesn't make sense. So if I was going to be a floor guy, it's not going to take 10 years, but you're like, hey, I might need you for a month or two. And it's going to be a lot of hard work and you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to physically be here. We're going to get at it. So same thing. Just as you probably don't remember it because you were seven and your dad just told you, go here and do that. And you're like, okay, boss. you still had to get apprenticed and learn how to do that. I would be like, okay, now as a business owner, I need to be apprenticed and learn how to be a business owner. They're completely different skills. Does that make sense? I know I maybe didn't answer exactly what you're looking for, but that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Cool. And I'm going to throw one more fly in the ointment that we're going to call it because we're going too long already. For all of you guys, gals, because predominantly we serve owners of cleaning companies, both janitorial and maid. The reason, and I have my company is a Service Master Commercial Cleaning. We did floors and janitorial. So it's not like I don't understand it or I don't like it. I do understand it. I don't like it for one reason. The big problem I have with power washing, windows, upholstery, floors, carpets, things like that are the lack of recurrence. So for you, if you sign a good floor contract, it might be worth $1,500 today. And maybe they'll call you back every 3 to 6 months or a year, depending on whatever. Maybe they won't, but you kind of got to sell it every dadgum time. So a lot of the time gets just eaten up selling a job and you're rolling the dice every time, right? Because you're like, same with move in, move out cleanings, construction cleanups, all this stuff, any one-time work, you're kind of speculating. I did this in construction, by the way. It was with zeros on the end, but you do a couple $100,000 project. You're speculating it's going to cost you what you want. It'll get done when you want it, but you have to do all the work to bid it every time. And you're just reinventing the wheel all the time. When you can do janitorial and residential, you bid it once. It's the same monthly fee. You don't have to do all that crap again. And if you make a mistake, you can be like, oh, I have to raise prices or I have to quit. I can't do this job. But you don't have to just get burned, right? So you sell it once, you get paid forever. And by the way, that's why software companies get valued up here, because they sell it once and people just keep repaying, versus construction companies where you have to keep selling jobs, get paid way down here in terms of multiples. So for any of you guys who are like, well, great, but I'm a floor guy. What do I do, dude? I personally, and this is beyond the scope of this podcast, but just for everybody out there, I would switch my thinking. So just like the big coaching I'm giving you, Henry, is to move from, I'm a guy who does floors. How do I kind of slowly transition into business? Like, we're going to change you. I'm a business owner who happens to do business floors, and I don't do any floors. I personally don't do that because I own the freaking business. That would be one. Two would be, I want to be just, we talked about the accounting and models that work. Recurring models are better. So I would make janitorial my main sales point. And then I would certainly have add-on for commercial or for floor work. That makes you really sticky, right? So if I just do janitorial, you do janitorial and floor work, I'm going to have a hard time competing with you, because you're going to get you can picture the camel with his nose under the tent, right? Once he gets his nose under the tent, that camel's going to be in that tent, the whole thing's coming down. So if I'm doing janitorial, you just start doing floor work and I do an iffy job, but you do a great job on floor work, how long is it be before you have the janitorial work as well, right? And then if they want to fire you, like, oh, but he does such a good job on the floors, and all the other janitorial people won't do floors. So I love power washing, upholstery, floors, windows, all that crap, as an add-on service to something where we're in that freaking building daily, right? I've got a multi-$1,000 per month relationship with these people, as opposed to multi-$1,000 per year relationship that I have to go resell and call them all the time. So that would be my first thing, is go from, I'm a floor guy trying to do a little business, to I'm a business person who happens to be in the business of floors. And I'm so committed to being a business person. If janitorial is a better primary business, I will make that my business, because I'm a business person, not a floor guy. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Cool. Before we wrap it, questions, comments, rude remarks?
Well, you answered everything. I got a sheet full of stuff.
So glad that you did. And obviously this is recorded. It'll be on the podcast, so you can check it out. So everyone there with us, I am sorry. I typically like going pretty deep in a very specific subject. Henry had a broader question that I tried to just shotgun a lot of information a little bit of time, but hopefully it's got your brain thinking. If you're like, I think I need a little more, can you go a little deeper on about 72 of those things that you brought up? GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. All the information that you need is there. I don't even think there's anything for sale. Just a bunch of stuff, how to grow your cleaning company. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can, as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.